All right, we continue in the study. If you didn't get a copy of the material, you will likely need this. So if you would take a moment and get it, because the philosophy for me is that this is Sunday school, and if you're unprepared with it, then it won't be necessarily full participation. And as always, let me open with the scripture while we're getting the material. It says on page one of the material you have, I'll read it. It says, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And I want to, again, starting out before we get started, just praise Pink for giving us this portion of the book that he wrote. A lot of times we get a lot of the scriptures, which are all blessings about God and what he has done for us and even what we're supposed to do. But I was thinking again what Pink has done. He's given us something now that is from the Word of God that says, we know what God has said about his love for us. And then he goes on to say, now let us use what the scriptures say about our love for the brethren. And it's an amazing thing for him to concentrate, because he's called, in my standpoint, one of the cognitive guys of writing things about scripture. He's just a heavyweight. He just can go through the scriptures and bring forth, you know, enlightenment. But in this one, I wouldn't say softened, because he's still a man of God who brought forth the scriptures, but he said, let us now do a focus. And I was looking at some of his other works, and again, he does great work. But something seems to have been enlightened by the Spirit of God for this. As a matter of fact, if you go through the material, go through the book, and I hope most of you have, he lists this concept of love in one way or another 188 times. He makes reference to love. And that's the averaging. I forgot what the number of it, but maybe almost nearly two times a page on average. So something was happening even throughout the book before he came to this last chapter where he says, this thing of love is important. This thing that God loved for us is something we need to be aware and enlightened and take to heart what God has done. And then about 157 times, I think he really makes the relational things that will be both for us and God. But it's just an amazing thing. So do read everything, but do read the last chapter, if you will, in the book. Now, for those who weren't here the last time, we have in your paperwork the lesson for today. We had some wordy folks last time, so we we didn't get very far. I think we got to number three. The format is this. This is Sunday school, so I'll either ask or call on folks to do a reading of a question and a reading of an answer, and then we'll have discussion as we'll take place. So as I can recollect, Brother Jeff Garland was making some remarks on section three. It says, understanding true Christian love. And we got toward the end, and one of the questions, again, at the bottom is, what is discovered about love through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ? What are some scripture references? And the answer, partly was given by Jeff. His love was not only benevolent and magnanimous, thoughtful and gentle, unselfish and sacrificing, patient and unchanging. However, his love could deny an urgent request, rebuke his mother, use a whip, severely upbraid his doubting disciples, denounce hypocrites, be stern, be angry. Love not only extends kindness, but also rebukes sin when needed. And part of this, again, in looking at what Pink has to say, we really have to differentiate ourselves from the world. We have now a population that believes that love is the only thing that we need to manifest. Anything that's harsh, anything that's negative, is something that is something we should avoid in dealing with our fellow man. A lot of the protests in the nation now is that I don't want to be hurt by words. I don't want to be hurt by your concept. If I say I'm a loving person and I don't believe in homosexuality and the practice of it, all of a sudden, that's something that's not showing love. But in contrast to that, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Scriptures, said that there's another manifestation of this. You don't call yourself a lover of individuals, especially the brethren, but even for all mankind, where you're just doing the niceties. I'll ask you for this part, too. I was going to go over it all, but I think even for time, we won't be able to do it. When he talks about the urgent request in John 11, he's talking about, again, where the relatives of Lazarus are saying, you know, come with us. We've got a situation here. You know, our brother's, in a dire way. He's dying, essentially. So it was an urgent request, but Jesus knew that to glorify himself and the Father, he would wait several days. So that shows you again that love didn't mean we had to go and do something immediately, because God would ultimately get the glory. And I like the one about his mother, similar to what I just said, that mother makes a request, you know, about, again, converting water to wine. And, you know, he says, yeah, well, you know, why am I doing this, essentially? You know, there's higher order things here, you know, and this request is something that I'll eventually do, but understanding to whom you're asking the favor. And the whip, of course, we know that one again in the temple, et cetera. So, again, in the very other areas, he's talking about, let us as people of faith not be afraid to give the full dimension of what love is. And we're living, again, in a culture that wants to minimize that. Tell me the truth. Again, I'm citing Pastor again. I've told Pastor that part of his loving me is when I go astray in maybe interpreting the word of God, in a loving way, let me know. The same thing for the brothers and the sisters. Love me enough to not to get the scriptures wrong, because I have had probably an interpretation, been to another church, and maybe not gotten the full, you know, exegesis in order to correct of the scriptures. And I want to know, because you love me enough that I, again, can give the glory to God by being obedient to his written word. Okay, let's go ahead. All right, let's go ahead with our lesson. Let's continue with number four. And again, the format, read a question, give the answer, and we may or may not have a comment. Who would like to take the first question under number four? All right, Brother Brendan.
Answer. It is a spiritual and supernatural thing. It is the heart being drawn out to those in whom the Christian perceives something of Christ. It embraces all in whom the image of God's Son is visible. It is therefore a loving of them for Christ's sake, for what is seen of Christ in them. It is the Holy Spirit within, attracting and alluring with Christ, indwelling the brethren and sisters. The surreal Christian love is not only a divine gift, but is altogether dependent upon God for its invigoration and exercise.
Amen. Amen. Any comments on that one? Yes, sir.
Yeah, so teaching the Bible study last week prompted me to do a little bit more of an in-depth study on brotherly love. And this one verse in Hebrews 13 that Pastor Steve preached on last week, let brotherly love continue. It actually, and when you put it in its context of looking at Hebrews as a sermon, it says so much. Right. Like understanding what brotherly love is, it's the answer is really well said. It's a supernatural thing. 1 Peter 3 says that brotherly love is taught by God. Amen. So it's God teaches us to love Amen. The brethren. But it's even more than that. It's commanded by God. We're commanded to love the brethren. It's a mark of a true Christian in Romans 12. Romans 12 tells us that one of the marks of a true Christian is the love of the brethren, right? 1 Thessalonians as well. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 talks about brotherly love as well. So I think it's it's something that we should take very seriously, because it's a working of the Holy Spirit. But it's something that we should challenge ourselves in doing. So when we think of brotherly love, yes, it's outside the local church as well. Like when you're fellowshipping outside the Lord's Day over dinner or something like that, we should be encouraging each other and whatnot. But brotherly love is something I think we should be looking and focusing on the Lord's Day, because it's the time where all of the brethren are gathered, at your local church, that is, where they're gathered. It's literally the perfect opportunity to show brotherly love, to encourage one another, to serve one another. And I think often it's neglected at times because we, and I talked about this in the Bible study, because we are often at times looking into ourselves and analyzing ourselves to the point where we can neglect the person next to us without really realizing it. So, I think when we think of brotherly love and love for the brethren, it should be something that we challenge ourselves in doing, and the perfect place to do it is on the Lord's Day, I would say. So.
Absolutely. Any other comment? Yes, Brother Pete.
Brotherly love, according to the scripture, is counterculture. That's the truth of the matter. It really is something that is outside of our culture, and it is something, it is a work of God. But I agree with what Jahad just said, you know, during the, as far as when we come together as brothers and sisters, that we greet each other and we acknowledge each other. But more than that, I think more than that, in a sense, it is praying. You know, take the time to pray for those whom are within the congregation. Take the time to pray for, we know, you know, the men that are in leadership positions and what God has entrusted in their care for the souls of the congregation. And then take the time to pray for one another, for each and every one of us, especially when we do come together in this day, the day of worship, that God would be gracious to us and that His Spirit would work amongst us and encourage us and build us up in the truth. And then, importantly, pray for our pastor that the Lord would bless his studies and that the Lord, you know, would speak through him and bring forth the Word of God to the hearing of the people here, all that will be in attend.
Amen. Amen. And one of the things implied for me reading through the lesson is that it's another one of those things where we examine ourselves. If we look at ourselves and say, is this supernatural thing manifesting itself within us? And we ask the question, if it is, praise God. If it is not, we get to seek the Lord in His Word and in prayer and in, you know, meditation, and to see what He might have us do. Because two things happen. One is, this love, this surrealistic love, is one that glorifies God. But it also, again, is one of the things of grace He's given to us. So it's twofold. And if we can manifest this, and I'll probably say this multiple times during the lesson, we look different. Probably more correctly to say differently, but to the world. But we look different. We have occasion for a visitor, for example, if we're exhibiting the brotherly love one to another, and certainly any visitors. There's something that happens, and it's not us, it's the Spirit of God moving beyond us to those. And it's certainly the case for husband and wives. It's certainly the case for us and our children. And to me, this is one of the things that I am challenged with often, because when I'm in the world, be they saved or not, I would pray after you leave me, you've seen something that says, that guy exhibited something, even if you don't know what it is. And I pray the Spirit would move, and eventually you learn that He has a love for that individual, that situation. And I think about my Lord, who would love in the midst of being on earth with people who were sinful, who derided Him and did all kinds of negatives. But at some point, they still point to the love of God, and we certainly do as people who are the redeemed. Oh, yeah. Let's go ahead and go to the next one. We're now going to rightly exercising Christian love. I had a couple people in mind when I was starting this lesson, and I'll probably call on you, but if you don't feel like doing it, that's fine. How about you, Sister Marie? Would you take that on for number five, the question? And if you don't, just wave your hand and say, pass it on. Yeah, and do the answer.
How does the believer rightly exercise Christian love? Furthermore, can you give a scripture reference from 1 John? Do you want me to do the answer, or you're going to give somebody
else? Oh, go ahead and answer, yeah.
Okay. The believer does so when he or she truly seeks the highest good for his brothers and sisters in Christ. It says in 1 John 5:2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments.
Amen. Amen. Any comments about that particular question? All right, let's go to the next one. Anybody ready to take the second question under that section?
I was actually raising my hand because there was a couple sentences here that I
thought
were good, but then I'll do that as well. I like where he says the genuineness and strength of my love to God are not to be measured by my words, nor by the lustiness with which I sing his praises, but by my obedience to his word. Because Jesus said, you are my disciples. If you love me, keep my commandments, right? So, and then he just compares that to being the same principle that holds with relation to the brethren. You know, it's not what we say, it's what we do. You know, we put our love into action and show them our love by putting feet to that.
Just to dovetail that, I marked that in my book as well. Because, again, often there's a kind of, and I may be guilty of this, this verbalizing or this enthusiasm about God and how we love him. But then when it comes to the practical part of showing that love is that there can be a disharmony. And I would dare say not to rag on any particular churches, but sometimes there's a lot of hoopla in the pulpit, but the church is not functioning either sometimes within or even without. I give the example of a generic church where they've got this huge congregation, just huge. And when I drive through the area, I notice that within the block of the church, not several, the block of the church, somehow that manifestation of the love doesn't appear to be getting to the community as well. It is just an amazing thing to see and it's one of their promotions. And again, not to rag, because again, I fall short of the glory of God. But once that love is shown, one of the manifestations can be, are we showing that love to those who are in our immediate area, you know? And so I think for all of us in this day and age that the love of Christ is going to be one of the things that will, perhaps by God's grace, change the nation, because we seem to be a little anemic nationally, if you will, in terms of proclaiming the names and the work of Christ in our own lives. So this is a personal thing that I'd like to see. That if I have opportunity to meet folks, I'm proclaiming Christ, and there may not be consequences, but I love him enough to do so. And so praise God for that. Now you're going to do the question as well?
Sure.
Well, any other comments, that's fine, but if you're not, go ahead.
That's fine. Okay, question, what is necessary before spiritual love can be exercised by the Christian toward the brethren? Answer, it is necessary that God has his proper place in the heart of the Christian. So obviously we have to have love for God before we can extend that love to our brothers.
Question for me. Do we examine this as just individuals within our group? Do we examine that issue about Christian love within ourselves just so we can exercise it? Is that something that some of us, most of us do? How about you, Nick? We had you yesterday, and you seem to be in love with God. Is that something you...
Can you repeat that question?
Yeah. We were talking about, again, the love of God and exercising it and being concerned and mindful and evaluating, if you will, is...
Yeah, absolutely. I actually had a comment on that question. We were discussing in the study group last Wednesday this point of having the love of God first and all else will follow. And I think that's really a really important point to drive home. It's because you look at the New Testament and the first thing that you have in this entire outline is Christ's words, the first and second tables of the law, the first four commandments, the last six commandments, summed up in saying, love God, love your neighbor. And this is embedded in all of Scripture. We have, if I can turn there really fast, we're in Hebrews right now. And the very end of Hebrews 12 and the very beginning of Hebrews 13 shows this point pretty clearly. Chapter 12 ends with, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is consuming fire. And then 12 ends in 13. Let love of the brethren continue. And so the point being made, the way I see the structure here, is that love for God has to be primary and first. If you don't have that, there's no way you can have love for the brethren.
Amen.
And you go to First John, and you see that if you don't have love for the brethren, you likely don't have love for God. You don't have love for God.
Absolutely. Oh, I thought you were pastor.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I would even say as well, like when we're, you know, when we're in the within the local church and, you know, on the Lord's Day and worshiping the Lord, if we have a brethren that's struggling with his commitments to serve his fellow brother or sister in Christ, or he's sinning against his fellow brother and sister in Christ, or whatever it may be, I think with that said, the first the differentiation and importance of the first two tables, which I think is, he nailed it, we have to address the fact that there's a lack of love, a lack of duty between that brother and God, because that's where foundationally where the problem is. It's not, oh, you need to go correct this with your brother in and of itself. It may be true, and it's probably likely going to be true, especially if it's an issue of sin. But oftentimes it's the fact that that brother's not loving God. He's not honoring God. He's not fulfilling his duty as a Christian to God. So when we try to correct it without first correcting his heart to God, what we're doing is we're doing a disservice to him. We're actually trying to give a Band-Aid solution when it's open heart surgery. Like I think often that's the problem, and we try to solve or help the brethren solve these issues amongst others with just these quick solutions or quick fixes, when it's actually an issue of one of the first four commandments. It's actually an issue of the first table. Often it's an issue of the first commandment, putting something before God.
Amen.
I was just going to say, it's just really important to keep that in mind when parenting too, which I guess I'm going to have to just use that with my grandchildren now. But, you know, instead of band-aiding it and just addressing the behavior, is addressing the heart.
Oh, Brother Pete?
Along the line of something of what Jihad has said, I understand what he means and what he's saying, but this is where we as Christians to one another. The most effective thing that we could do is to pray for one another as we see a brother or a sister's walk seem to wane, you know, as far as that. It is the work of God that does, it is God himself that does the work in the heart. But we can be an encouragement to that brother and sister and speak. Say, I've noticed you're struggling. I just want you to know, you know, we're praying for you. I want to encourage you and so forth. And that is why it's so important, because we do not know what God, the work of God, doing in the work of the, in the heart of the each and every person. We each walk in different spheres of life, and we face different challenges. And so that's why I think, to me, like I said, the most important thing that we can do is to pray and let the brothers know, I'm praying for you, you know. I'm praying for you, because it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If God does not do the work, we're not going to be able to do that work either. And so the most important thing to me is pray. Pray for one another, Amen. You know, and speak the times when we're together. This is it. This is the one day of the week that we come together with one another, or even when we have visitors, that we take the time to speak and, you know, to them as well.
Sister Gloria?
I don't know if this is the right time to say this, but yesterday when Edna called me about Oscar's stroke, she, of course, immediately asked me to call the pastor. And there were a few people she wanted me to call to let them know. But she said, thank God for the church. Amen. She knew that everybody would be praying for him. She's so grateful, and I want to let you know that she is grateful for your prayers. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. And this is the brotherly love. Again, we're getting down to the basis that one sister had the comfort, knowledge, and ability to call another sister and says, we have a difficulty. Can you, will you do X, Y, and Z? And as Brother Pete was talking, it just reminded me, you were talking about the prayers. Well, we've already established that this is supernatural grace. And so when we say supernatural, we're not talking about the temporal, we're talking about God. We're talking about the movement of the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, that's how magnificent this thing is that the Spirit of God will let us know, first of all, will hear our prayers, and will move according to God's perfect will. And prayer is one of those things, Brother Pete, I know you're saying, to which we go before that throne, for which we can, again, have access to all that is according to God's will. And so I'm not surprised that Sister Gloria was called, because she's one of these ones who's quiet, but is exhibiting, like many of us, the glory of God through the love and service to other folks. Maybe similar to that, let's go with the next question. Anyone up? The exercise of love. Go ahead, Ms. Pam.
The exercise of love is to be in strict conformity to what? Can you explain further what this means? And the answer is we are to be in strict conformity to the revealed will of God based on his word. Keep going?
If you would.
Okay. This means that we are not to engage in the petting and pampering of each other, which is not brotherly love, exhorting one another to press forward in the race that is set before us, and speaking words which coincide with our daily walk and which will encourage our brethren to look to Jesus, which will be much more helpful. And that's Hebrews 12, 1 and 2.
So much in that one. Just professionally, I've encountered in just a number of situations, marital relationships, child rearing, work, where it seems to be a harsh thing for men especially to pronounce what is right, wrong, good to be done, not to be done. I remember a generation ago, with my grandfather, he had no problem with this. He was very straight up. If it was right, it was right. It's wrong, wrong. To give guidance, correction. And what it ended up, he kept, especially his boys, out of a lot of harm's way. But he didn't candy coat it. It was, you know, you will do this, you will do that. And we as Christians, again, if we continue to have so much latitude and be without boundaries, that we kind of do a disjustice or an injustice to folks who are out there. And again, I talk about the kids. We just don't let them roam. I mean, you know, the children nowadays in this society and in the coming generation have lost what America used to have as a general being under God, that there were certain rules, regardless of whether you're under your parental authority or just the community authority. Now, there's pampering. Oh, okay, so you did that, you missed school, you sassed the teacher, you whatever the case may be. And so it's not a godly nation when we don't keep commands that have been led by our Lord to say, these are what I expect of you. Conform to these. And in some scriptures, and you will live. And not just the life, but you will live a more abundant life. So I challenge you here, and especially the men, especially in our households, that we have to be in charge. And if thus saith the Lord, then thus saith the Lord. And sometimes that imputation of, you know, too much latitude presents problems. Again, we have no perfect children. I wasn't one myself. I know you don't believe that, but I wasn't one myself. So it's like one of those things of, yeah, but we can have a prescription that will most likely lead to better things happening. Any comments or anything? Let's move on. If not, to the next one. Let's go to number 6, manifestations of Christian love. A couple of people were on my mind again. This will be the last lesson. Miss Thelma? Yeah, are you good, or you want to pass on, or what's good? You'll pass? Oh, no, you'll go again.
Question. How can the Christian most manifest his affectionate regard toward his fellow man? Answer. He can do so by using all his interests in the Lord Jesus in their behalf, entreating his mercies and favors unto them.
Amen. Amen. There was a part we need to not gloss over too quickly, and it's that little phrase in the answer, by using all his interests in the Lord Jesus in their behalf. Anybody have an idea what that might mean, to have all your interests? And certainly we're not talking about the compounding of money.
There's a scripture that says, look not every man according to his own things, but look also and to the things of others, and I think we discussed that pre-lesson in Philippians. And there is a sense to the scripture mandate. Again, if we are living our lives in according to the scripture as much as that we are able to, you know, it means that we will be doing the right thing in the circumstances that we are involved with, whatever that circumstances. If we are following scripture mandate, using godly wisdom and using, seasoning our speech with scripture and with truth like that, if we are doing the right thing in that circumstance, we are also being very effective as far as to whoever is the immediate around us. So in that sense, I just lost my thought.
Yeah. We're in the same season of life, so yes, sir.
I feel this answer can be just simply put in, like, how can the Christian most manifest his affectionate regard toward his fellow man? I think, again, it goes back to the first and second table. I think walking in obedience would be...
Okay. Amen.
My answer. I mean, I think, like, if a Christian's actually walking in obedience, loving God, the natural affection towards his fellow brethren, if I can use the word natural there, would be evident, would be shown because of his love for God. It goes back to Christ's words.
Amen. Mike had something.
When you ask about the phrase, all his interests in the Lord, just looking at the last part, the Lord Jesus in their behalf, well, what does the Lord do for us? He is our mediator. And what do we have in the Lord? Well, we're justified.
Amen.
We can pray that for our fellow brothers. We're adopted. We can pray that for our fellow brothers. We're sanctified. So these are all the blessings that we enjoy, and we see our brethren struggling. We can pray those toward their benefit and their behalf because we have the same interest in God with those.
That's the context in which I took it. It is all God has given us. He's given us life, breath, salvation, eternity. That's our interest. And so when we have that much interest, then what will we do but represent him having all those things he's given us? And we take things for granted. I mean, even the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that it will enlighten us. It sustains us. There's so much going on. So in other words, we are his, bought with a price. So everything we do is to be manifested and then giving glory to God. And Pastor, that was an interpretation. Do you have anything on that? Are you good with that? Oh, Brendan. And we'll move along a little bit.
I think I have I think this will be an example from Scripture in 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make requests for this. So it seems to kind of touch upon, if I understood Mike there, you know, Christ is our mediator, but then, and as Pete says earlier about praying for the brethren, that, you know, we lift our brothers and sisters before the throne of grace, before the mediator, God.
Amen. Let's go to the next one. We're running a little bit out of time, but we'll be able to finish, I think. There's a lovely young lady in the back, well, actually several, but the one who's right next to you now, to the right, yeah, with the kind of, ma'am, if you have time and opportunity, don't want to pass, could you do the top of page 3, the question, and then read us the answer?
Certainly.
Okay.
The question
obedience.
Is...
obedience. We got to do this at home as well.
Question. Can you explain how the Lord Jesus now manifests his love to his saints? And the answer. The Lord Jesus makes their cause and care his own. He is entreating the Father on their behalf. None is forgotten by him. Every lone sheep is born upon the heart of the Good Shepherd. It states in Hebrews 7:25, he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
Amen. Let's do this unless someone has a comment. Let's go to the last item, and then if we want to go back. Oh, Aaron. Oh, beautiful. Thank you.
Cultivation of Christian love. Question. Can you list at least 3 insights for cultivating Christian love? Answer. First, recognizing at the outset that just as there is much in us which will severely try the love of the brethren, so there will not be a little in them to test our love as well. Second, the best way to cultivate any virtue or grace is to exercise it. Third, above all, see to it that your own heart basks in the light and warmth of God's love. Like begets like. The more you are truly occupied with the unwearying, unfailing, unfathomable love of Christ to you, the more your heart will be drawn out in love to those who are his. To God be the glory.
Amen and amen. Any comment on that really quickly before we go to the next thing and then get out of here? Linda?
That first point is very, very convicting, very, very important, I think. You can't love others unless you have humility, because you know, if you think you're better or smarter or more of more value than other people, how are you going to love them? And this really helps us to keep in mind that if we have challenges with other people, you know, people that get on our nerves or people that we have a hard time being patient with or whatever, you know, we need to remember there's other people that probably have the same issue with us, you know, that you know, I'm annoy them or, you know, whatever. They, you know, so we just need to, you know, have humility, you know, and not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to if we have any hope of loving others.
All right, so we're convicted, but let's go on. Oh, maybe one more. Go ahead, Hector.
Yeah, I often at times have to be careful when I'm joking with a brother, just joking with a brother, because I could offend him real quick, you know, and hurt him. And I have to use discernment every time.
Amen.
But I try to be friendly and bring that brother closer by, you know, just joking with him, but I got to be careful at times.
Teach your neighbor as yourself. Again, sometimes you're not in a good place, and that's one of mine. We have something very much in common. I try to evaluate when I'm talking to people and say, hey, let me see by whatever I can discern whether you're in a place for certain comments. So praise God. That was insightful. Appreciate it. Last thing we're going to leave it with this. We'll go to the throne. The last two pages. I used to tell folks in certain circumstances that if I do a presentation of any type, I don't want to be just giving wind and it's forgotten, it's whatever. To me, my brethren and sisters, it's important for me that you at least look over this if you have not already. It boils down a lot of the elements in Pink's book, and I've added a couple. I really would encourage you, again, by the pastor's grace in saying that this is something we could do. Do go over this, and it's for no one but yourself and God. And when you see things that are on the positive, praise God. You see things that may not be so great, praise God that He would fill in those areas. And the third thing, we're talking about love of the brethren. I hope everyone here is comfortable enough that if you see a shortcoming, that you could go to someone, have that person walk with you through whatever the issue is, and then at some point we'll have brotherly love both, but an increase in our faith, knowledge, and behavior that gives God all the glory and honor that is due to Him. So look at those. I'm not sure. I didn't think about whether husbands and wives should do this together, but maybe I suggest independently at first, and then go from there. So I love Pink. I love what he's done. He's given us an opportunity to not only proclaim God's love to us unto death and salvation, but he brought it down to a level where it says, now that we are children of the true and living God, we are now to be interfacing and interacting with one another to show the love of Christ. I love what he says. He says, when we see the brethren, we have seen what Christ has done for them and in them and through them. That if we cannot see that, then we may be missing something in our relationship with Christ as well. So praise God that will stick in our minds. Let's go before the throne. And Father, I pray that through Pink, who interprets the Word of God and tries and seems to do well in rightly dividing the Word of God, Lord, that this is not an exercise, Lord, of just cognition, Lord. I pray that this is an exercise, Lord, where we have faith that has increased, Lord, that we have love for our brethren that has increased, that we have a love for you that has increased. And, oh God and oh Lord, if this is not the case for some or any, we pray that the Spirit of God would move, Lord, to bring them to a point where they can see even more fully the glory of the Lord and the benefits and the interests that we talked about that would propel them to be kind, considerate, helpful to those whom you have chosen before the foundation of the world to be yours, that they are truly brothers and sisters both now, and Lord, it gets even better, that we'll be brothers and sisters through eternity. So Lord, again, what a gracious work you've done. And again, we know it is all from you. Our hands have brought nothing to the table. Again, we give you the glory, the honor, and praise that can only be due to the Most High God, a living God, in the name and the blood of Jesus. Amen.